Politics may be competitive, high-pressured, and potentially rewarding, but it's not the only game in town. March Madness is in the air, and nearly 100 college basketball teams have extended their season into tournament play. Usually you wouldn't be able to tell when March Madness begins and ends on the campus of Yale University, but this year has been different. From member station WFDD, Larry Schooler reports on the team's first postseason victory in school history.
As time ran out on a nail-biting basketball game at Rutgers University Thursday night, Yale senior and sportscaster Michael Horn could hardly believe what he was saying.
The ball is stolen by Drott and time expires. Yale has won! Yale has won! They have won their first postseason game ever and they advance in the NIT. Oh boy, this is incredible!
It was incredible that Yale had beaten Rutgers by a mere 2 points to advance in the NIT, or National Invitational Tournament. To many observers, it was just as unlikely that Yale was in a postseason game at all. The last time Yale played this late in March was in 1962, when John F. Kennedy was president and the Cold War was at its height. Back then, the Bulldogs lost their first-round tournament game after winning the Ivy League title by beating Princeton and Penn. Dr. Rick Kaminsky remembers that season. He was a guard and one of the leading scorers on the 62 Yale team.
I think after Friday night, when we beat Princeton by 30 points, the next night it was full, and from the rest of the season, the stands were full. I mean, basketball was something in those years at New Haven.
Fast forward to this season. Yale fans, who normally pay more attention to their hockey team, gradually caught on to the fact that basketball history was in the making. Yale shared the league title with Princeton and Penn, and all three earned invitations to postseason tournament play. That's unusual for the Ivy League, a conference whose teams don't award athletic scholarships. Ivy League coaches have always bemoaned the difficulty of finding high school athletes who meet their school's academic standards. But third-year Yale coach James Jones says when he recruits players, his priorities are a bit different.
I like to go to guys' bedrooms and see what's on the wall, see if they got a picture of Michael Jordan or Albert Einstein. You know, I want to recruit basketball players. You know, Yale's a fine school and they're going to get a great education and come out and do wonderful things. But I want to recruit guys that really care about the game. And I think I have a bunch of guys that care about the game of basketball. We don't want to stop playing.
But without athletic scholarships, it's still difficult to woo top players away from higher profile basketball programs at private schools like Duke or state schools like the University of Kansas. And it's also been hard for the Ivy League to gain respect as a conference. Rutgers senior and sportscaster Mike Guderian says Yale's win over a school from the more well-known Big East Conference should help change that.
Honestly, I think that no Big East team takes well to losing to an Ivy League school, no matter how good that Ivy League team is. And you know, Rutgers, again, was 7-1 here at home in the Big East. You don't expect to lose to an Ivy League school. So no matter how much respect you think you have, translating it into playing on the floor is nothing. And I don't think Rutgers brought enough respect tonight.
Yale officials hope their win will boost respect for the school among both college and high school athletes. But even if Yale fails to advance further in the National Invitational Tournament this year, they'll still return with all of their players next year, and they'll likely have sellout crowds and national media attention waiting for the start of the men's basketball season at Yale for the first time in decades. For NPR News, I'm Larry Schooler in New Brunswick, New Jersey.